Hello, welcome to Throwing Light. My name is Brandy Walker. This is episode 51, What You Believe, Part 1. This is going to be a series of, I don't know yet how many parts, but we'll kind of figure it out as we go along. If you're new to Throwing Light, so much welcome. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Brandy. I just graduated with my master's of social work, and I just started a job as a therapist. Before that, I was a life coach and a freelance writer. And I've worked a host of other random jobs. And I am kind of fascinated with what it means to live a really full life and enjoy life. And I believe that we can do it. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute more. So my background, in addition to my jobs, you know, is one of, there's some trauma, there's some addiction. It was a bumpy road the first few years of my adulthood. My childhood was kind of nice, but yeah, so on this podcast, we talk about kind of the intersection between mental health and spirituality. And I think like, there's so much more to this world than what we might see or feel or what we can, you know, sense. And so what I really want to do with this podcast is explore that. And so this is what we're doing with this series. So let's get started. About 8 to 10 years ago, so I grew up in a, well, I didn't grow up. I came to Jesus in 2004. I mean, I kind of flirted with Christianity as a teenager, but came to more traditional Christianity as a, you know, early 20-something because I was utterly destroying my life. And I realized, or I felt like I couldn't do it without some kind of higher power. And as I progressed in my beliefs, I found more progressive Christianity, more open spirituality, and I really fell in love with like an eclectic way of interacting with the divine. About 8 to 10 years ago, the idea crept in my head. And it wouldn't go away. It was what you believe matters, but not in the way that we think. And at the time, you know, it was very much me coming out of that Christian, my more traditional Christian paradigm, and was wrapped up in the idea of original sin. So I just started thinking like, first, I think what we believe about ourselves and others might matter more than we realize. And it really bothered me, some of the Christian doctrine that was like, I am nothing without God. I am a sinner who, apart from God, can do no good. I just felt like that was really, it began to strike me as very problematic. And I think some of it had to do with, I've talked a lot about Rob Bell and how I've been following his work since around 2007, 2008, maybe earlier. And I think he had done a thing about how the Bible starts in a garden and ends in a city, and they both were paradise. And what we often do is really focus on all of the mess in between. But he stressed the importance of starting at the beginning and ending at the end. And he talked about the idea of the restoration of shalom, or heaven on earth. And with shalom is like a Jewish way of saying peace. But I really was compelled by the idea of creating heaven on earth. And I couldn't get out of my head that it was possible, like, if not in our lifetime, it was possible to be a part of it, and that we were co-creators. And so as I began to explore the idea of being a co-creator, I think maybe that's how I happened upon manifesting and creating our realities. And at first, I was very scared of it. And I've talked in previous podcasts, I'll link them in the show notes, of how I, from a Christian paradigm, creating your reality is very scary. And the question that often comes up is like, what if I do it wrong? What if it's not what God wants? And I wrestled with that like deeply. And sort of, I guess, came to a peace about it. I didn't share it publicly, but I felt like, yeah, I think manifesting is a good thing. It felt like a good thing. It felt like I was partnering with God. I was partnering with the universe. When I began this podcast, I began slowly but surely, definitely in season two. But there were like pieces in season one where I would talk about this stuff and be more open about my sort of quote unquote weird spiritual beliefs. And then 2 years ago, so around the time I started this podcast, I read a book called The Field by Lynn McTaggart. So she's a journalist, and I found it to be a hard read. I'll link it in the show notes, and I think it's a really important read. If you're not into nonfiction, it's nonfiction can be difficult. But I also found it really life-changing. It was essentially the science of miracles. So she shared these double-blind experiments that essentially, I mean, more or less, proved that prayer was effective, regardless of the prayer's religion, and regardless of whether the person who was being prayed for knew it or not. And it wasn't like a how-to book. It was very much like a documentation. It was like, this is happening in the world. And also like some conspiracy stuff, like this is happening, but like science doesn't want you to know about it. And people who have gone down this path, scientists who have gone down this path, just were not taken seriously anymore as scientists. And there was a sense of, if I share my findings, I'm going to lose my credibility. And I'm not a scientist. I'm a social worker. What's interesting is I have felt a little bit of that in just academia in general. And I felt like she was onto something, and that there was something to the new agey stuff that I had been dipping my toes into for the last several years. But I couldn't quite grasp like the connection just yet. And then last year I read Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza, whom I've talked about a lot on here. Actually, when I did the interview with Denicia, we talked about that, and we both had read different books of his. Highly recommend his work. You can also look on YouTube and just watch keynotes that he's done. Yeah, so I read this book, and things started to become a little more clear. Also a very challenging book, by the way. it was more how-to. It was more like very detailed, complicated, like with meditations. He believes that we ordinary humans have the power to create our realities. So his famous saying is that your personality creates your personal reality. In other words, what you're experiencing in your life, the good and the bad, is a mirror that reflects who you are and, more importantly, what you believe. And it's a book, like I said, it's got meditations and info on experiments that he and his team had done. And I've done like bits and pieces of the different meditations. I started doing one of the meditations pretty consistently every day. And I've done that probably for the past 6 months at least. And I have to admit, like, since I started doing these meditations, a lot of my life has shifted for the positive. But I still felt like I've been wanting to share this research for like a long time. I'm very excited about it. I think it's very, very, very powerful stuff. But I felt ill-equipped, and there was a lot of imposter syndrome stuff going on where I just felt like I'm not a scientist. I don't have a team of experts. I'm not a journalist like excavating this information. Like, how can I share it in a way that, I mean, it's hard for me to grasp. Like, how can I convey it to other people? And then last week, by chance or by serendipity, I happened upon a series of YouTube videos by Bruce Lipton. And then I ended up finding like his full lecture, so he wrote a book a few years back called The Biology of Belief. And he has a full lecture. It's like 2.5 hours. I'll definitely link it in the show notes on that work. And it's like, it explains the science, but because it's in lecture form, and you're not reading a book, for some reason, for me, it was easier to grasp. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And then the rest of the series will kind of delve into, like, that's where we're going with this, right? So according to his work, we have two minds, essentially, the conscious and the unconscious. And we spend 95% of our day in the unconscious mind and 5% of our day in the conscious mind. And I'm going to delve deeper in another episode, I think, about where he went with this. Essentially, if you think of it like a computer, like how much information we can process, I think he said that the unconscious can process like 40 million bits of data, and the conscious can basically only process 40 bits of data. The other thing is the unconscious it's a tape recorder. So it can only play what has already been put on there previously. So there's like, we have these tapes already. When you're driving your car, you know, especially if you've been driving for a few years, you're not consciously thinking about the drive. You're listening to a podcast, or you're listening to music, or you're talking to your passenger, or you're, you know, you may be yelling at somebody on the road, but you're not like what your hands are doing, what your feet, what your, you know, right foot is doing. None of that is conscious. When we get dressed in the morning, we do the same things every day. So they're, you know, it's our habits. We just do them. We don't have to think about them consciously, because if we did, we'd like never get anything done. These are not bad things, but we don't get to choose. By and large, we didn't choose the tapes that went into our unconscious. So from 0 to 2, we are in it's almost like a sleeping state. Like the child isn't sleeping, but it's like that would be the equivalent of us as an adult, the brain state that we're in. From 2 to 6, we're in like a hypnotic trance. There's no new information coming in. We're like sponges. From 0 to 6, we're just learning. We're taking it all in. We're paying attention to what our parents do, and we're gathering all this information. And so if our parents tell us, you know, you're bad, or you're just not very bright, or you don't deserve, like if you go to the store and you throw a fit, and this was the example he used, and so your parent says, you don't deserve the toy that we were going to give you, then that gets programmed in, right? So whatever your inner critic is telling you now, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm too much. For me, one of the things that's been coming up is that I can't trust myself. Like all of these things were programmed on an unconscious level. So we got them before we were consciously thinking about whether or not we should put those in the program. So one of the things he said that was really profound is that you can't change the scripts by yelling at the tape recorder, right? So we try positive thinking. We try, okay, I'm enough. I am enough. I am enough. But you can't, like the tape's in there. It's just, you can't get it out. Well, you can get it out, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but you can't get it out by just willpower alone, right? So we get frustrated with ourselves and then we beat ourselves up because I should know this, right? I should know better. And you absolutely shouldn't. Like most people were given scripts that are unhelpful. And the reason, when you think about it, is because their parents were given scripts that were unhelpful. And it's like a repeating cycle. So he talked about 3 ways that you can change the tape. The first one is mindfulness and meditation, which is what I've been doing for a couple years now that has been really effective. But it's hard and it's laborious and it's not quote unquote fun. It's work. So as a social worker, there are a handful of healing modalities that are recognized as like legitimate, that are quote unquote like alternative by social work profession. And mindfulness is one of them. And I have to be honest with you, I have never 100% been on board with mindfulness. I just didn't get it. I didn't love it. I don't know. Like I like meditation, but then I want to go like unconscious the rest of my day. But Bruce Lipton was saying that the reason you can change the script with mindfulness, if you don't go unconscious, you can't play the tape. So when we are using our conscious brain, so often we're in the past or the future, right? So if we're doing that, then the unconscious program comes in, and whatever we've been telling ourselves our whole life is gonna keep on going. If we're mindful, then we can change that program. If we're in the present moment, if we're thinking about what we're doing and who we're doing it with and what's going on and the colors and our senses, we can change the program. And that's why mindfulness is so important. And one of the examples he used was falling in love. So when you meet the person that you're kind of smitten or infatuated with, everything is brighter, everything is clearer. You're paying attention to everything. And in those moments, that it's not necessarily the person, which I'm sure for some it is the person, but it's the way that you feel because you're so aware. And I think the beautiful thing is that we can be that aware all of the time. The other way to change is hypnosis. And he said clinical hypnosis. I feel like self-hypnosis probably would also work. And that's, you know, past life regression, which we've talked about on here, is hypnosis. It's a form of hypnosis. So we're going back and we're changing the tapes. But both those, mindfulness, meditation, and hypnosis are long processes. Like, they can change things, but they're difficult. Sometimes they're expensive. It's a lot of work. And generally speaking, it's not overnight work. Hypnosis may be maybe quicker than meditation. But the last way he said was this new sect of psychology called energy psychology. And you have probably heard of some of the modalities. EFT, or emotional freedom technique, which is like tapping. It's also called tapping. EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So that EMDR is actually one of the few alternative modalities that social workers recognize as evidence-based. And I think body talk might be as well. But so EMDR is really good with trauma. And then the last one, which is the one that Bruce Lipton is a big fan of, is called Psych-K. And I, to be honest with you, don't know a lot about these modalities. I've just started doing EFT on myself and working with a life coach who understands the process to learn how to do it. And I've been doing it every day, and it is working. I think the fascinating thing is that it works really fast, and you don't necessarily have to believe in it for it to work. It's effective. You're tapping with your fingers on pressure points on your face and a couple on your body, and you're saying out loud the script, the negative script you have in your head. And in that, you're releasing it. And then you can reprogram it with new scripts that you want for yourself. So I'm very fascinated by this. So Bruce Lipton was saying that what energy psychology does is create like a super learning environment with your body, and you can reprogram these scripts in like 15 to 20 minutes, as opposed to hours and hours of meditation or hypnosis. So I'm very excited about this. I think that, you know, to go back to what you believe matters, but not in the way that we think, we are remarkable, like, beings, and we have incredible potential that we are beginning to learn how to tap into. So coming up, we're going to get into more about what belief is and why it matters so much. We're going to talk about the science of how the body works and heals. We're going to talk about the placebo effect. We're going to talk about the news and how it affects us. We're going to talk about what happens when we think thoughts, and positive or negative, about others. And I do want to do a whole episode about mindfulness. And I think as we get into it, I'll do... So these modalities that I mentioned, I can definitely talk about tapping more. The other ones are brand new to me. So as I learn more, I'll share more. But I also invite you to do your own research and see what, you know, resonates with you and what you want to learn. Yeah, I hope that this is intriguing for you. I hope that you'll stick around, and let's have some fun. Thanks so much for coming. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I so appreciate your ears. If you like what you heard, There are a couple of ways that you can support this podcast and help build momentum. First, you can share it with a friend. Second, you can leave a review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you're listening through. And third, you can support Throwing Light on Patreon and get cool shit, including a shout out on the podcast. Thank you again. I hope you have an unexpectedly amazing day.